The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Radio. About to commence.
Dayton, welcome to Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It's, 7:06 in the morning, and our phone lines are 605-4567, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Good morning, Jared. Sitting over there. Don't act like it's a surprise. Get ready, man, because you're a part of the show now. Are you trying to figure out what's going on with your headphones?
They're just far too small.
Far too small. Well, try those. Just keep switching them around till you find one you like there, buddy. There you go. You know, I always like people being happy. That's a whole part of my whole day. It starts my day off good. Good morning. Hey, I hope everybody's doing well. It's weather today. It looks like it's going to be light rain and fog today. 46 degrees right now in the studios of KCNR. 1460. Today, a 40% chance of rain. Now, it rained yesterday a little bit, and it had some dampness out there today. I noticed a little bit of rain on the way in today. Tonight, a 30% chance of rain. Thursday, 90% chance we're going to have some heavy rain Thursday night. Chance for some showers Friday. So, you know, get ready for that. The high today, near 55. It's going to be calm, but it looks like it's the weather's moving in for us, which is good. Saturday and Sunday, it looks like it's really clearing off, and it's going to be a nice weekend. So, everybody, have a good time. Hey, the weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, a better-known business where our customers are warm friends. Discounts for seniors and veterans. Give them a call, 365-3793. Hey, today, Brent Weaver's going to be on today. We're going to talk about the Blueprint for Safety and a few other things. Also, Kim Chamberlain. We want to talk about Reeves Across America, this outstanding project where they put Reeves on the headstones of all of our fallen heroes out at Igo at the National Cemeteries. And it looks like Arlington Cemetery is short. They said 7,000 Reeves this year, and they're taking a collection out. I would imagine, and I want to talk to Kim about this because you just can't help it, but, you know, there's more and more gravestones out there every year. And I know that they've bought permanent type of wreaths. It makes a lot of sense to put out there. But I wonder how they keep buying more and more, if there's a fundraiser or what. But we'll talk about that. The Special Forces. Obama's putting Special Forces people into Iraq and possibly Syria, going after ISIL here. It's interesting to see what they're doing. That, you know, first of all, they have to announce it, that we're putting clandestine forces in there. But let's just announce it. And what are they going to do? Well, they're going to go after the ISIL leaders. And this was part of the announcement. They're going after the ISIL leaders. You know, try and take them. You know, snatch them, you know, capture them. We're going to take on specific projects, specific targets, work in the communications field, do all this kind of stuff. I mean, just lay out the whole plan for them. Why don't you just tell them where they're going to be at, and which I'm sure will come out at some point. Oh, yeah, they're going to be stationed right here. And they're going to be, wait, by the way, they're working tonight. Perhaps somebody from Al Jazeera News would like to go with them. I mean, and this is the other, Al Jazeera News. It's a channel on in cable. Now, this is one of the primary reasons that I think, you know, that I cannot wait till they bust this bundling extortion out from the cable networks. I have to support this channel, though I never watch it, and I don't agree with it. It's a public mouthpiece of a foreign country that doesn't value human lives as Americans do, that doesn't value women as Americans do. And yet, I actually saw somebody on Facebook, so I got my news from Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera, you have to remember who these guys were. These people are. These are the ones that are revealing where our troop locations were, and I mean, all these things that they do. And they did during the wars that we've had over there in the Middle East. I mean, come on. And so, but yet, because if you want this cable package, you've got to accept that. You've got to accept, you know, how many, Jared, do you have cable TV or Dish or one of those?
Yeah.
How many of those channels do you really watch out of that 185 or 200 channels you have? How many do you really watch out of that?
Probably like five.
Five?
Six, maybe.
Yeah, six. Okay, I'll go up to 10, you know, maybe 12, depending on what it is. I'll go for the nation, you know. Certain ones. I just have to have certain ones because Linda is not going to get by without The Voice or Dancing with the Stars. Okay, you understand that. And then I have certain channels I like to watch, you know, sports channels and the news channels. And believe it or not, yes, MSNBC is one of those. I watch MSNBC. You have to. You have to get that other side of things. And, you know, and actually, you know, and I hate to even say this out loud, but Rachel Maddow, you know, sometimes she comes up with some really great things. And the one thing I always admired about her is she apologized one time. She said, I was just so totally wrong on this one subject. And she just apologized. And I thought, wow, would Bill Riley ever do that? No. Bill Riley he bloviates a lot. But the bottom line is now, though, is that we have to, you know, so I've gone from our troops going into, you know, announcing our SF troops, SF guys going into Iraq to fight and what they're going to be doing and everything about that, into the point where I've kind of reverted, I've gone, like, you know, I've morphed into hating cable TV, though I don't have cable. I have Dish. It's the same thing. Right. I've still got to take 200 of these channels that I don't want. I mean, how many shopping channels really? How many shopping channels really can you watch? I mean, again, you know, it's. I mean, do you need 12 of them? How many of these other channels that just have just thing after thing? I don't. You know, really, the children channels. I'm not big on cartoons. Nobody comes over and watches them. Maybe once, you know, with the grandkids come, but they're getting, you know, they're too old for that now. They're watching stuff. I mean, but why do we have to take that? Why do we have to take channels we don't want? Well, you're just sitting there looking at me
It's a mystery to me as well.
It's a mystery. Okay. Okay. Salvation Army. You can do this, Jared. Salvation Army needs bell ringers. I like to see a lot of our guys. Linda and I are going to go out. We're going to ring bells. I got to go down, stand up. You know, I'm going to go down and sign up for a bell ringing for Salvation Army. It makes you feel good.
And where do you sign up at?
Down at the Salvation Army office there, off of Mistletoe. You can go on down there, and they are looking for people to go out there and ring bells. You know, this is the way they gain a lot of funds during this time of the year to help a lot of people. Anytime you go into Salvation Army, there's people in there that they're helping. So this is a good chance to do it, everybody. So just head on down to the Salvation Army, give them a call, say, I want to ring a bell. And it's just 2 hours out of your life, but it makes you feel good. And then you pick up, you know, if sometimes you could just, you know, you go into a spot where somebody is, you just go in and you take their spot. And you don't have to do anything with the pot or anything. Or maybe you have to bring in your own pot and stick it there. And then you just ring the bell. You're pleasant to people. People are nice to you. You know, for the most part, I mean, I have my own ways of ringing bells. It embarrasses Linda. You know, I like to think if we're not getting enough, I point the bell at somebody and I ring it. Wait a minute, kind of like this. I kind of like aim it at them and go. As opposed to Linda's, who goes back and forth like. I said, honey, you've got to get them fired up. And then, you know, so you. And then there's the old, you know, that, you know, some people actually have two bells. Any way you look at it. Salvation Army needs some help, my friends. Once you head on down there, give them a call. Tell them, hey, I want to ring a bell for Christmas. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR, 1460.
Join the City of Reading as we turn off our outdoor irrigation. As our serious water crisis continues, the city is facing large fines from the state if we don't meet our mandate. Those recent rains we've been enjoying won't end the drought overnight, but they're enough to let you turn off your sprinklers for the year. The shorter days and cool nights mean you don't need to keep those sprinklers running. You'll save plenty of water and reduce your utility bill at the same time. Check out other water-saving tips at cityofreading.org. Be water wise, water less, and together we'll all get through this.
Whether it's a 7-year-old battling cancer, a dad injured in a car accident, or me, a mom of two saved by blood transfusions, every 3 seconds someone is in need of blood. You don't have to be a doctor, a firefighter, or a police officer to save lives like mine. Donating blood makes you a hero. Contact Blood Centers of the Pacific at our own Reading Shasta Blood Center, 221-0600.
I'm Dr. Marie Salas of Reading Republican Women Federated.
And I'm Ted Leidy. We would like to thank you for coming out to the Chris Perano event last week.
Hey, Ted, you did a great job being our MC that night. Thank you.
You bet. Now it's time to thank our sponsors, Sierra Pacific Industries,
SJ Denim,
North Valley Distributing,
Foothill Distributing Budweiser,
Healthwise Chiropractic, Dr. Maria Salas, hey, that's you,
J&A Foods,
Premier Catering,
Northern Firearms Instruction, hey, that's you, Ted,
KQMS,
Taylor Motors,
Adam McElvain,
Next Generation Real Estate Services, Jenny Mistel,
Best Western, Hilltop Inn,
Mike Pallmeyer, Edward Jones,
and of course, our great supporters, KCNR Free Fire Radio.
We would also like to thank our friends and neighbors of this amazing community who attended the event, and we would like to wish you a safe and happy holiday season.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
It's Lady Bot and the Bluebirds December 3rd at Elements Lounge inside Wind River Resort and Casino. Join us as we celebrate the holidays with our favorite jazz standards and Christmas songs, starring Pat Karch on keyboards, Bobby Veramontes on drums, Bruce Kalin on bass, and my very special guest, Lou White on sax and flute. That's Romance on the River from 7 to 9 p.m. Dine, dance, enjoy friends, music, and more. December 3rd. Call 243-3377 for reservations. See you there.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, it is. It's hump day. See, you thought you got by without that. All the people that were laying there in bed going, oh, he didn't do hump day. Well, we're doing hump day. Thanks, Jared, for hopping right all over that one. Good morning, everybody. It's like 7:18 in the morning. 45 degrees out there going up to 55. We got rain today and real rain tomorrow. Fill up Lake Shasta, fill up Whiskey Town. Give us big snowpacks out there on Mount Shasta so we can do our skiing and sledding and just having a great time up there. Do it all. We want the rain. And, again, time 7:19 in the morning, 45 degrees. Weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. And this portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Shasta Regional Medical Center, besides backing this, you know, the big Giving Tuesday, also has been in business for 70 years. It's top-rated hospital in the nation, in the top 100 hospitals in the nation for the last 3 years, and the top cardiac unit in the nation, all at Shasta Regional Medical Center. They treat people well. And they do things like they set up the and help with the Giving Tuesday, which is a day that's been going on for, I think, several years now. Giving Tuesday, they wanted to raise $150,000 for 64 charities here in the North State. Well, they didn't make the $150,000, Jared. No, they made $320,000. The people came through, $323,000 was given yesterday. And one of the big winners was one that's close to my heart. There's two of them that are close to my heart, was the... the Shasta Trinity Fly Center Healing Waters program, which helps veterans kind of help transition them back into, the working environment, where they go out and, you know, the group of the Healing Waters, these are veterans that get together and every Monday. And they talk fly fishing, and they go out, and then once a year, they go out on a fishing expedition right here on the Sacramento. For Saturday and Sunday, the boats were provided by local shops around here. The fly shop provided a lot, and guides, and then their mentors, you know, kind of went with them, and sponsors. Well, I guess not say mentors, but sponsors went with them. So they had over 30 boats out in the water last year. Great, great, great thing. They raised around $30,000 on this. One Safe Place, Haven Humane did well. I mean, it was just a great day. So hooray for Giving Tuesday and the people we have in our community.
Oh, yeah, that's wonderful.
I mean, it is great. You know, it's a lot to be proud of that they did this. And that's why we've talked about the Salvation Army needs bell ringers. Let me tell you, you know, now Jared's going to go out there. You're going to go out, right, Jared?
I actually do, yeah.
Yeah, and then Molly usually goes out with her kids and Jeff and rings, and we're going to ring. And I'll tell you what happened one year is we rang the bell, and we'd finished already. And as we went back to the car, this van pulls up, beat-up van. This guy gets out, and he says, "You Carl Linda Bott?" And I went, "Yeah." And he's looking at me, and I thought, well, this is going to, you know, this could be interesting. And he says, "I have something for you." And I walked over to his van. He pulls open the slide van, you know, the sliding door. There's this kind of a large, or you know, not the big coolers, but the kind you carry, like if you got, you know, big lunch and stuff. You know, you put like a six pack of beer and all that kind of. That's how big it was. He says it's in there, and I was kind of wondering. I wonder what he's got in that cooler. He opens it up, and it's filled. Okay, it's filled with quarters. This guy brought in over $1,000 of quarters that he gave to us to donate. I mean, and I said, well, you know, he wouldn't give us his last name. His name was Jim, and he drove off. And he said, I've been keeping these around. Now you got to say to yourself, here's a guy that, you know, he could have used that money. I mean, he really could have used that money, and instead he brought it down to give to other people that needed it more than he did in his estimation. So that right there. Kind of like that lit my whole Christmas up for years. Still does. When we talk about it, Lynn and I talk about it, we just kind of go, you know, wow. I wish that we had that kind of, you know, that kind of giving quality. We like to think that we give a lot, you know, and we provide a lot, you know, for our neighbors and our community and all that. But then sometimes you see people that just, I mean, that far outstrip anything you do. So it makes you want to try harder, I guess is what I'm getting at. And you're going to see people coming and dropping their pennies in, and they had the kids come over. Some people drop, you know, we've had people drop $20, not $25, but $20 bills in, $100 bills. Just kind of, you don't know who does it. You just don't know who puts the money in like that. So
yeah,
it's really cool, and then you take it back and you give it to the people.
Yeah, that's really cool. There was a couple in Rosemount, Minnesota, that gave $500,000 this year.
$500,000.
And they chose to remain anonymous, which was also pretty cool.
Well, that's the other thing too. You know, I mean, it's just amazing. You know what happens when people, they are so good. Some other people aren't quite as good. Obama, I just segued into this one. Obama wants to take executive action, you know, issue some executive orders in a way to limit gun ownership. He wants to get into the background checks. He wants to do all these things that he can do by executive order. He's got his staff of lawyers checking on how he can do this. When he made that announcement last week, what happened? What do you think happened after that? When he made that announcement last week? Yeah, we're going to look into this. Oh, come on. Just think about it. Every time Obama opens his mouth about guns, what happens? Yes, you're right. Black Friday set a new record for gun purchase background checks. A new record. 200,000. 200,000 new background checks for people wanting to buy guns. Obama, President Obama, again. You know, maybe he was a little worried that he thought he might be losing his place to Clinton as the gun salesman of the year. So he had to push it out there that one more time. He says, you know what, I need one more big surge here so I can get that award for Gun Salesman of the Year. Not only did President Obama just blow past Clinton as the best gun salesman of the year in the nation. Okay, in the nation. He may have just put himself over the top for maybe being the best gun salesman of the decade. And I'm thinking he's got another year left in his presidency. And this man, he looks at a picture of a gun, the gun sales goes up. The National Rifle Association should give this man an award at the end of his presidency for being the best recruiter for the National Rifle Association. The gun makers ought to get together and say, you know, we ought to give him maybe a trip to Hawaii for he and his wife and the kids and, you know, Secret Service people, because look at all the guns this man has sold over the last 7 years. And he's still got another year. As soon as he pulls out his executive order talking about, I'm going to make it harder to buy guns, you are going to, the shelves will be emptied by the time this man finishes the presidency and gets that award as the gun salesman of the decade. Maybe. Okay. I know it's a short century, but obviously of the century, too. I mean, of the century so far, up to date. And you know what? And if you get a Republican in there, he's going to have to go a long way to beat Obama's record as best gun salesman of the, you know, of the decade, of the century. I don't think they're really going to try to. You know, how can you compete with something like that? This guy has perfected his sales routine so that all he has to do is he mentions it, he talks about something, boom, 200,000 background checks so they can buy guns. So, were you one of those? Did you buy a gun?
No, I don't own a gun.
You don't own a gun? So let's find out what house you're in so we can come and just break in and take it. Take all your stuff. You should have a little sign on that says, you know, I don't have a gun, but I am fierce. You know, or I guess you probably don't want to put a sign out like that. My neighbor has guns. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Our guest when we come back for this next segment will be Kim Chamberlain. And Kim is such a delight to talk to. She just, you know, she is a vet. She supports the veteran community. Her deceased husband was a Korean vet war veteran. She just thinks there's nothing better than veterans. And she does a lot of things to help. And she does a lot of things for our community. And now she's going to be talking about Reads Across America and what you can do and with your kids and just to have a very meaningful day here in the next week. But we'll be right back after these messages. Carl Lindebot, KCNR 1460. It is 7:28 in the morning, 45 degrees out there here on the 2nd of December.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
NorCal Limo, the ultimate in luxury limousines.
This is Jamie with NorCal Limousine. Here at NorCal Limo, we specialize in group transportation, birthday parties, proms, weddings, Manton wine tours, ladies' night out, guys' night out, Christmas light tours, concerts, and we service all the major airports. Don't worry about parking fees and wasted gas money. NorCal Limo will pick you up and take you anywhere in the North State area. Packages start at $150. Enjoy the finest in expertise and precision with the newest limo in town. Check out our website at www.norcallimo.com or give us a call at 276-8851.
Licensed and insured, PCP 31143.
Linda Bott here from KCNR.
And Nathan Parmalee from Reading's own Civic Auditorium.
The Reading Civic is bringing the excitement to its newly updated theater. The 2015-2016 season promises to wow you and include a 15% savings option when you purchase tickets to three or more shows.
So start your holiday season with the exquisite artistry of Moscow Ballet's Great Russian Nutcracker. Enjoy heartfelt Christmas classics with the Oak Ridge Boys Christmas Show, and take in the stunning debut of the Civic's very own production of Christmas Carol, A Love Story.
2016 kicks off with the pop culture phenomenon of Flashdance the Musical,
the devilishly funny production of C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters,
the wildly theatrical show Blue Man Group, and the fun family experience of Chris Perandi's Stunt Dog Experience.
For tickets and more, visit ReadingCivic.com or the Reading Civic box office.
See you at the show!
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bot. Good morning, 7:31 in the morning here on the 2nd of December. Wednesday, hump day, 45 degrees out there, going up to 55. With a chance of rain today, with a big chance of rain tomorrow and Friday. 90% tomorrow chance, but it's even raining a little bit today. I noticed when I was getting up this morning and walking outside at about 5 this morning that the sprinkling on me last night and this morning, but heavy rain tomorrow. Weather reports, of course, always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, and this portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Bastiani Arms. You know, on a certain day, and I think it's like the 12th of December, that you have to purchase that weapon to make it so you can have it for Christmas from Bastiani. So you got to look at it, and you got to go 10 days in front, you know, or from that. And then you've got to figure out that they're closed on Sundays and Mondays. So they come on in and to pick it up before Christmas. So you need to get down there right now, 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading. Locally owned, locally operated. It's a he and his wife started this business about the same time we started our radio station, which is starting our seventh year here this month. And he has made a success of it because of just outstanding customer service, great gunsmith in there. He has all the types of guns you could possibly want, whether it's a pistol, revolver, long gun, shotgun, all the shooting accessories, including reloading equipment, everything there at Bastiani Arms. Give him a call at 222-8222 and check out the classes they're giving on concealed carry and hunter safety. All of this, Bastiani Arms. 2539 Larkspur. And by the way, the Salvation Army office is on Larkspur also. We're going to look up the exact address, so we'll let you know, and we'll give you a phone number for that. Gerald will be looking that up here in a minute. Okay. Hey, you know, this is one of my favorite people in the whole world, Kim Chamberlain. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning, Carl.
You are. And you know what? Kim Chamberlain, she has a card. And on this card should have Kim Chamberlain, everything, not just board membership. Kim Chamberlain. Everything, because everything that happens with veterans around here and the Korean community, Kim Chamberlain is involved in, including that great, you know, the that Korean lunch day, or that, you know, Korean, what's that celebration?
We honor Korean War veterans.
Korean War veterans and all.
And each year, because they have been a forgotten veteran for so many years.
And all the ladies get together and
yes,
put
Korean
together a gosh, the best Korean food you will ever have in your life.
Well, that's the least that we could do to thank them.
And it's free and open to everybody there.
Yes.
And there's usually a dignitary from the
South Korean consulate.
Korean consulate comes up.
Yes.
And recognizes them.
And our congressmen and
that's
our
right.
senators.
Yeah.
And we have a great support system there.
Well, it's because of you.
Well,
Kim Chamberlain.
I appreciate everything.
You are on the you're on the board member right now of the Northern California Veterans Cemetery too.
Yes, for several years.
Several years. And you have been the one that has been the person behind the Wreaths Across America honoring our fallen veterans.
Well, yes, in a sense, but without our supporter from Rotary Club and the local veterans organizations, and the business, civic club, and individuals, we cannot have this program because they the ones supporting every year, and we are proud to present it this Reach Across America. Well, at our local veterans cemetery.
Okay. Well, tell people what Reach Across America is.
Reach Across America is a national program, and we adopted that, and we first 2 years we handmade the wreath. We went to the local forest and we cut the boughs, and we have volunteers who came up and made 500 wreaths the first year. And second year, we did the same thing, 750 wreaths. But it's a very labor intense. So therefore, each year, cemetery number of graves growing. So we went to artificials, a wreath, so we could reuse them.
Right.
And
it made sense because it was very difficult to get all these wreaths made.
Yes. And this year is our 8th annual, and we are going to decorate about 2,800 graves.
This year?
Yes.
You know, I remember 8 years ago when we started, and, I mean, all I did was, you know, lay wreaths, but there weren't anything close to that.
No, first year we decorate 500, and you and Linda came out, and I was not prepared, but I asked Linda last minute, could you sing the national anthem? And Linda did, and it was beautiful.
Well, you know, she just loves, she loves supporting. We love supporting these types of things, and the national anthem for Linda is so special. And she doesn't know. I mean, every time it's different because she gets touched by it when she sings it.
And she is, you and Linda is fresh breath of air to Shasta County. Since you had come up here, you have represented us so much and veteran, and without your support, we cannot spread the word. And we appreciate you and Linda for supporting veterans' cause. And although you are a great veteran and you are the heroes, thank you.
Well, you know what? The heroes are they're all people that we're going to be putting these wreaths across here.
Yes.
Now, everybody, this is going to happen at 12 o'clock, at 12 noon on Saturday, December 12th. It's a week from the Saturday.
Yes.
And we need people to come out.
Yes.
We got 2,500 graves. And what you do is they bring all the, you know, there's going to be a ceremony beforehand.
We're going to have a small ceremony.
Right.
Our theme always is remember, honor, and teach. That is our theme. Because we can never forget what veteran has done for us and honoring what they done. And it's a holiday time.
Yeah.
We decorate our home and we have a family gathering, but they are fallen veterans. Why should we forget them? We want to decorate their graves and they will be always part of our lives.
And, you know, it's what's amazing when you go out there. And this is, you know, and this isn't just for adults. No. Bring your kids.
Yes.
Kids come out and love doing this. And then they find out. Then you can explain to them, these are veterans. And what are veterans? And you can explain that to them. And kids understand. These are men and women who have signed up to risk their lives to defend our country. And that's easy for them to understand. And then they're grabbing wreaths and they just, I mean, everybody grabs just a handful of wreaths, and then you go, come back and keep going and all this. But it's a relatively small area still.
Yeah.
But a couple hundred people out there, and, you know, with a bunch of kids out there, come on out. It will make you, it's like ringing the bell at the Salvation Army. You're not doing it for yourself. Well, maybe indeed you are doing it for yourself. You are doing it for yourself. You ring that bell, and you get that money for Salvation Army and those donations. It makes you feel good. It makes you feel like you've accomplished something. Same thing with this wreath. It shows we are honoring our veterans, but it's also good for you. It's good for you to give like this. So, you know what? If you're if you've got a busted foot, or you just, you know, okay, I can't do that well. Well, you know what? Come out. We'll give you the close ones. You can come out and do the ones right next to your car, because there's plenty of wreaths out there. So, how many people are on the committee for this, Kim?
We have a committee of for last 7 years. We've been doing this year. Head of our committee is Charlotte Bailey. And I'm just supporting this year and raising funds. And but we have so many volunteers. There's a lot of labor intensive. Thursday, prior to the wreath ceremony, we have a fluffing days.
Fluffing days.
Yes. We take all the wreath out of storage. We take all ribbons off, put the fresh ribbons on, and shape the wreath so it's presentable. Uh-huh. Then on the 12th December, and we placement of each graves. But we have students involved. And this year we have a Mistletoe School 8th grader and a Rocky Point Charter School 8th grader. They write a small essay about what is a veteran.
Uh-huh.
And so they read their essay, their poem. Mm-hmm. And then, and we...
That's, and then the ceremony happens.
And ceremony.
Now, so you have fluffers out there then on the Thursday before.
Yes.
Which puts the new ribbons on them if they need them and all this.
Yes.
And make it look nice.
Yes.
Now, where do you get those people? Are those all volunteers?
They are all volunteers. They call cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And then we take their phone number and email. Then we contact them to come in such days.
Okay. And they can just call the Northern California Veteran Cemetery and
yes.
say, I want to...
396-2429.
Okay. 396-2429. Okay. It's right here on the on that
those,
piece of paper you gave me.
Yes. And
I'm looking at the wrong page.
Yeah. Also, people would like to donate, and they could go to our website, www.norcalvetsupport.us.
Yeah, dot us, uh-huh. dot us. Okay, everybody, here's and just a here's your opportunity to help. You can either come down and help fluff the wreaths and put new ribbons on them, or you be there that day. Get there about 11:45
yes.
on the 12th of December.
Yes.
And become part of something that's bigger than you.
Yes.
And listen to some of these young eighth graders talk about what veterans are, because we've been there before and they're just, you know, have really heartfelt messages. So there's just two kids that are doing that. And then the wreath ceremony starts, and everybody just kind of goes and picks up wreaths, and you just go from gravesite to gravesite, including the walls where their people are, where the
columbarium,
where the cremains are. Okay, all of this again, December 12th at 12 noon up at IGO, and if you have any questions, give a call to 396-2429. We have a couple guys, you know, in the chat room that said Jarhead said he wants to help fluff. So and give. So we'll because he said, yeah, he wants to be a wreath fluffer, which is kind of cool, I guess. It's a cool thing.
We could use people to carry in and carry it out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do all that stuff.
A lot of work.
Okay. All right. Okay. Kim Chamberlain, who is such a, you know, a valued member of our community here, and so much love goes from our community to Kim, because she returns all of it.
Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Okay, thank you. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl and the bot. KCNR 1460. It's about 18 minutes until 8 o'clock here on December the 2nd. Our guest at 9 o'clock will be Brent Weaver, Reading City Councilman. We're going to talk Blueprint for Safety.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone. Up and at 'em bright and early, I'm all business in my suit. Yeah, I'm dressed up for success, from my head down to my boots. I don't do it for the money, there's bills that I can't pay. I don't do it for the glory, I just do it anyway. Providing for our futures, my responsibility. Yeah, I'm real good on the pressure, being all that I can be.
She was crying when I first met her, Dawn Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Newly engaged, she had just crashed the vehicle they bought together. It had rolled over an embankment and every panel had to be repaired or replaced. A full paint job was also required. Our estimate was well over $20,000.
Now he won't want to marry me, she cried.
When he arrived, he comforted her and was glad she was safe. On the day of delivery, I learned they were moving out of state immediately. I had inspected the vehicle and test-driven it myself. But a drive over a couple of states, in the mountains and long desert stretches, made me feel uneasy. I was confident in our repair, but what if the unexpected happened? A few days later, he called, and my heart skipped a beat. Hi, Don. Just wanted you to know the car drove perfectly, not even a squeak. It's times like this when I love this business. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
The unmistakable sound of the Temptations. Motown comes to Redding. Sunday, December 6th at 7 p.m. Live in concert, it's the Temptations at the Redding Civic Auditorium. Don't miss the Temptations. For more than 50 years, hit after hit from the Temptations. Now live in Reading at the Civic Auditorium. Tickets are on sale now. Go to the Civic box office, call 229-0022 or online at readingcivic.com for the incredible Motown sound of the Temptations. The smooth, stepping, and flawless presentation of flair, flash, and class come to the Reading Civic Auditorium with the Temptations live in concert December 6th. Get your tickets now at the box office. Call 229-0022 or online at readingcivic.com for the Temptations.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Well, Christmas is coming next, so Kathy's got gift cards that you can get for the person that has everything. We have a whole bunch of new Toyo Tommy kerosene heaters in for Christmas and ready to go. Kurt and Ricky are delivering kerosene everywhere in the mountains. Cody and Gary are doing a lot in the plant, filling clear pearl for the portable heaters and propane bottles and bulk oil. And thank you to all the customers of ours that use the Muse card locks for trucks, cars, and equipment. Mike Alcorn, the driver of our shiny truck and trailer, has Driver of the Month award for cleanest truck. Robin is doing a great job keeping up with all of our ag customers and corning and deliveries. Joe at Weaverville plant is very busy filling propane bottles and kerosene. Northern Lights Energy, keeping families warm, tanks full, and always there before you need us. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl in Dubai, good morning. It is about 13 minutes until 8 o'clock here on the 2nd of December. It's 46 degrees out there, going up to 55. A little rain today, a lot of rain tomorrow. Weather report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call, 365-3793. I'm here with Haley Sadler. Hello, Haley.
Hi, Carl. How are you?
I'm Peachy, and we're here to talk about Cascade Theater and a bunch of stuff going on.
Yep, talking about our holiday lineup. I'm sure everyone's heard about Cascade Christmas, but it's our closing weekend this weekend. So we have shows Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So be sure to get tickets if you haven't already.
If you haven't already, you're foolish, because this is a great show.
Yes.
We're coming. I think we're going to be there Friday.
That's great.
I think that's the day we have tickets. Linda, just she'll tell me that day when I need to know it.
Yeah, Linda takes care of that.
Yeah, she'll just say, hey, okay, go get your sports coat. Mm-hmm. And hop in the truck and let's go. All right. So
yeah, all okay. New storyline this year. Actually, a lot of new cast members this year as well. So, and a lot of your same favorite faces returning.
Of course.
So that is a great show. So be sure to get your tickets to Cascade Christmas before it's over. It comes and goes pretty quickly.
Yeah. No. So it's finished this weekend. Then.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
It just.
And then next week they start Mary Poppins rehearsals.
Yeah, that's okay. So
we're always working at the theater.
Cascade Christmas is such a great thing to take your kids to. But if you don't have kids or grandkids, mm-hmm. go yourself, because you'll come out of there again. It's one of those things that you feel good when you walk out.
Yeah, for all ages.
For all ages.
Then the rest of our holiday lineup, we have Pink Martini Holiday, which is December 13th, and I will warn you all, it's almost sold out. So.
Pink Martini.
Pink Martini returns. Everyone's favorite little orchestra.
Yeah, everybody likes that. Mm-hmm. It's almost sold out, though.
It's almost sold out, so you need to get on it soon. I think there's less than 100 tickets left.
Okay. So just give a call down there to the Cascade?
Yep. Give a call to 243-8877 or online on our website, 24 hours a day.
Isn't it funny how you think, how when you book something and you think, okay, this is going to be a sellout, and it's not.
Yeah.
And then others that come rolling through, they just, everybody wants to see them. I must be... You know what? I think, you know, sometimes you know, okay, this is going to be good. And they usually are. I mean, if it's a country, if it's, you know, if it's an artist, something, a lot of times you get a lot of people. Sometimes you think this is going to be a killer. Nothing. And then others, Pink Martini.
Yep, it's their third time here. We knew it was going to be good, but we were very excited that it's almost sold out.
Yeah, well, I mean, see, I never even heard of Pink Martini. Jared's still over there going, I still don't know what that is.
Well, and they're another really great show you should see.
Okay. Well, that's it. And but people love it. You know, they talk about it afterwards, so that's why. Okay, yeah. What else we got coming here?
And then December 18th, we have a Celtic Christmas. We have it every year.
Oh.
It is another show that's
another one
up.
We saw. It is absolutely fabulous. It's fabulous. I hope we have tickets for that. If we don't, I'll talk to Linda about that.
Okay.
Because a Celtic Christmas... The music.
Yes, Irish stories, Irish dancing, singing. It's a wonderful, wonderful show.
And if you can leave that, if your little feet aren't just a tapping when you're watching this thing, you're obviously unconscious. And then I go out afterwards and I try to river dance in front of the theater, and I've been taken away twice. But I try to river dance.
Yeah.
I can put my arms out and I try to get other people in. Maybe that's why. I try to help river dance. And even if they don't want to. Okay.
Yes. So authentic Irish performers. So it is a great show. Great for the whole family as well. So we have lots of stuff going on at the theater over Christmas. Reading City Ballet is bringing the Nutcracker again as well. So all different types of holiday shows.
When's that?
The Nutcracker, let's see, that is December 11th and 12th.
Okay. That's just next weekend.
Yes, it is.
Hey, Jared, have you ever seen the Nutcracker Ballet?
I've never seen any ballet.
You've never seen that. You know, Jared, I'm going to open your mind here. We're going to get you tickets for the Nutcracker Ballet because it is, you know, first of all, how could you have gotten through your whole life without at least seeing it on TV at some point in your life? Yeah, I mean,
I may have seen
it. You may have seen it. You just didn't know what it was. Once you hear the music, you're going to go, oh, yeah, I've seen that, or I've seen parts of it. It is just absolutely a fabulous Christmas story.
Yes. So a little something for everyone over the holidays, all different types of performances. We also have gift certificates I want to let everyone know. So if you don't know what a family friend would like to see, just get them a gift certificate and they can pick out their own tickets, their
great
own
little
seats.
Stocking stuffers.
Yep, great stocking stuffer. And then I will say, too, in January 16th, we have our Annie sing-along, which is going to be a lot of fun.
Okay, now how does it...
So our sing-alongs, actually, every year, we've had one, I think, for the last 4 or 5 years.
Uh-huh.
They do great. The theater fills up. People come dressed up and sing along, and they have just really taken off, these sing-along shows.
You may not see me there.
That's okay.
But Linda, I'm sure, will be there with all of her friends. Okay, so, I mean, is this like a movie?
Yeah, it's the movie with the words
with
underneath.
The words.
Yep, the sing-along. And we have costume contests. We have prizes. We have...
I have an idea for you.
It's a totally different theater experience.
I have an idea for you.
Go. Shoot.
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
We've done that the last two Halloweens.
You've done that last two Halloweens?
Yeah. Not this current one, but the next one I know it's already booked.
It's already booked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is this the movie?
Yep.
And then so people...
And
can,
then people... And then they do have some actors coming around.
Okay, they do.
And, mm-hmm.
This is great because people show up... I mean, they would show up every Friday night in this one town. Every Friday night, they'd play at midnight. They'd play the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yep.
And every Friday night at midnight, all these people would show up dressed like all the costume guys and girls in Rocky Horror Picture Show, which, you know, there's some strange looking costumes in there. And they knew all of the lines. They would act it out. They would spray in water. People would have umbrellas. I mean, it was just like crazy. People would get up and, you know, be mouthing the words.
Yeah, those sing-along fans really get into it.
It takes karaoke to a new level.
Yes.
Okay, so that's Annie. That's starting in January.
Yes, January 16th.
Okay.
So, yeah, we've
okay.
got lots of good
December.
Stuff
Let's go over December one more time and give us the dates on all these.
Okay, so Cascade Christmas closes this weekend, December 3rd through the 6th.
You've you've only got a couple more days to see this.
Yep.
You've got, what, today? Or not today?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
And Sunday. Take the opportunity to go. You'll have a, you will not be disappointed. Then rolling in right after that is?
Is the Nutcracker. Reading City Ballet brings in the Nutcracker on December 11th and 12th.
This is these are local people.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
the other thing, too. I mean, it's our local dancers mm-hmm. putting this on. Okay.
Yep. Pink Martini comes in December 13th.
Uh-huh.
And then a Celtic Christmas on December 18th.
December 18th, Celtic Christmas. That's a...
Friday.
Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. It is?
It is.
Okay. I thought the 20th was a Saturday, but obviously not. Okay.
Don't confuse people.
I'm sorry. Okay, so the Celtic Christmas is still on the 18th of December, no matter what day it is. It'll be there, and you'll see Carl and Linda.
Yes.
It's a great show. Well, Haley, thank you so much for going in. How's Cascade doing this year?
It's really good. It's been a year of transitions, but we're finally all on board. Jan is back from maternity leave. I'm back from maternity leave. So
I was
going to
say
forward.
That. I was going to say that you've lost a little weight there.
Yeah, no one can see me on the radio, but
I
look different.
Well, it's good. That's kind of strange, too, is that both of the people running the Cascade were both pregnant at the same time, too.
Yep.
So
we timed it well.
So, okay, now here's the other things that are going on. You do a lot of local with all of our local groups here, and then you bring it in people like the Pink Martini group, and you had some of the country guys.
Dwight Yoakam here this season.
How
Winona,
was that one? How
Winona will be here in February.
Oh, Winona.
Mm-hmm.
Are the tickets gone?
They're already. She's pretty full, but there's still tickets left. But don't wait till February.
Yeah, I mean those are gone
Get
by
them
then.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and how'd Dwight do?
He sold out.
Oh,
yeah.
Of course.
Sold out a week before the show.
So you have people like Dwight Yoakam and Winona. So obviously the country is big around here.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, is there thoughts about bringing in like a, you know, an artist monthly? A country artist monthly.
You know, we haven't talked about something like that. But we do try to figure out what the community can sustain. I mean, not everyone can buy tickets every month to a big show like that. But
well, how much were the tickets for, like, Yoakam?
Let me look. I have it in front of me. They were $60 to $80 a ticket for Dwight Yoakam.
Okay.
For Winona, they're $47 to $69.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we just try to make it balance it with what we think the community can support
mm-hmm.
and what people would be interested in, and also keep it diverse at the same time. Not everyone likes country. A lot of people do, but we like to keep something for everyone.
Now, how many days a week is the Cascade working?
I would say...
On average.
So there's 356 days a year. I would say 300 days a year.
You've got things going
on
in there.
Whether it's a rehearsal or...
Okay.
A show or
yeah.
a tour or a speaker. Something's always going on.
That's interesting. I didn't realize that it was that much. I thought there was – I know that y'all are picking it up too. So,
yeah.
And with the different groups, you know, with different groups of people coming through and all that. Good. Okay. Again, how do people get tickets?
You can go online at cascadetheater.org. or you can call our box office at 243-8877
you can also,
or come on down.
You can join. Can't you join
yes,
me? Don't you have like a theater group or something?
Yes, there? You can become a Cascade Theater member. I'm glad you mentioned that, actually, because we always add on new shows throughout the year, which we might be doing here soon. And if you're a member, then you get to hear about the shows first, and you get to purchase tickets before the general public.
Well, that's that's fun.
Yeah, it's a minimum $50 donation to the theater. It gets you premier access to all of our shows.
Okay, great. Do I have a minute left? Okay, we still got a minute left. It gets so you get that, does it get you like little breaks on the prices or anything?
No breaks on the prices.
Okay.
You just get tickets before the general public.
Can you get one of those wine glasses that you know that are the non-spillable, you know, the sippy cups for adults?
Well, the different levels, you get all the different things. I don't think a sippy cup is
part of it. Not part of it? Okay. You know what I'm talking about,
I
right?
I do. I do know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you'd have to buy a sippy cup. It looks like a wine glass, but it's not.
Yeah, it has a lid on it, so you can take it into the theater.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, really, how many people get really excited and throw their wine straight up in the air, though?
It's more the beer, actually.
Oh, it's really the beer. Okay. All right.
But we have lids for the beer cups.
All that stuff. Okay. Haley Sadler here from the Cascade Theater. All the things that are going on at our Cascade Theater, all these great shows. But okay, but in our closest objective right now is the our Christmas show, yep. The big Christmas show, Cascade Christmas. And if you haven't been there, please be there. All right. Thanks a lot.
Great. Thanks, Carl.
Hey, Brent Weaver is waiting outside to come in here and explain the blueprint for safety to us. Reading City Councilman. It's 8 o'clock here on the 2nd of December.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew. The British Parliament today is set to decide whether to take a more aggressive stance against Islamic State extremists by launching airstrikes inside of Syria. Arguing for that, Prime Minister David Cameron.
My argument today is that we should not wait any longer before doing so. We should answer the call from our allies.
And yesterday he angered some of his opponents by referring to them as terrorist sympathizers. American businesses stepped up hiring last month, led by strong gains in retail, finance, and other service industries. Moody's Analytics chief economist Mark Zandi.
Job growth is strong. It's really a very solid market, and I don't see any slowing in the near future. All the leading indicators look good.
So good, Zandi says the economy should keep producing about 200,000 jobs a month. Hearings underway now in a legal battle between the Japanese government and the local government in Okinawa over plans to move a U.S. military air base on the southern island. Marie Yamaguchi has more from Tokyo.
The Okinawan governor said in court today that the Japanese central government has violated the rights of Okinawa's residents for decades.
The long-stalled plan would move the U.S. Marine Air Station Futenma from a densely populated neighborhood to the island's east side, Hinoko Bay. He and his wife now have a baby girl, and Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg says that's what's motivating them to give away most of their money to try and create a better world for her to grow up in.
I hope that, you know, not just our child, but, you know, everyone in our community has an opportunity to go on and have an even bigger impact in the world.
And Zuckerberg says the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative is meant to advance human potential and promote equality. It will focus first on things like curing disease and creating strong communities. More on these stories from townhall.com.
Christmas, the holiday season, and our men and women in the military are deployed around the world, sacrificing their comfort for our freedom.
I really miss my home and my family this time of year.
You can help by sending God's Word in audio, the Military Bible Stick.
God's Word gives me such great peace of mind, knowing how much He loves me and how much He is caring for my family back home.
It allows me to take a word break, to ease my mind, and to encourage myself. Awesome.
The Military Bible Stick is the perfect Christmas gift. God's Word in a small digital player for troops to use anytime, anywhere.
Thank you for providing the Bible in this format. It is just the support that I need over here.
Visit MilitaryBibleStick.com. $25 provides the Military Bible Stick for one troop needing Christmas hope and encouragement. Call 800-800-2555 or MilitaryBibleStick.com.
House and Senate negotiators have now struck a deal on the first long-term transportation bill in some 10 years.
The five-year, 1,300-page bill includes some $205 billion for highways and $48 billion for transit projects. It would be paid for through a combination of gas tax revenues and offsets elsewhere in the budget. It also reauthorizes the Export-Import Bank through 2019. Lawmakers are confident the measure will sail through both houses before a Friday deadline.
That is correspondent Wally Hines on Capitol Hill. The U.S. is getting a little bit of pushback on a plan to send a new special operations force into Iraq. Defense Secretary Ash Carter laid out the plan yesterday.
These special operators will, over time, be able to conduct raids, free hostages, gather intelligence.
But Iraq's prime minister says his country doesn't need foreign troops. They could use some advice and equipment, he says. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Among those who are opposed to putting more troops on the ground in places like Syria and Iraq right now is GOP presidential candidate Ted Cruz. He cites a need for a more comprehensive effort against the terrorist group ISIS.
President Obama has admitted this over and over again, that he doesn't have a strategy. And so if we don't have any strategy to win against ISIS, than the president just sending more and more troops in harm's way without a plan to win. That doesn't make any sense.
Ted Cruz on the campaign trail yesterday. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump explaining why he never did serve in Vietnam.
I didn't serve. I haven't served. And frankly, I had deferments because of college, like a lot of people did. Numerous deferments because of college. And I had a foot thing, and I had deferment for that.
Trump was on the campaign trail yesterday in Waterville Valley, New Hampshire. More of these stories at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bot. It's Wednesday, November. Boy, would I like it to be November. No, it's December the 2nd. It's 6 after 8 here in the morning. It is 46 degrees in our fair city, going up to 55 today. And it looks like we're going to have rain tomorrow. And some rain today, but a lot of rain tomorrow and Friday. Clearing up this weekend. Tonight, precipitation, 30% chance, going down tonight to 47 degrees here in our beautiful town, in our beautiful area there. Lots of snow. It looks like it's going to be coming up on the snow fields up in Mount Shasta. A lot of water, which can always help here. Weather's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where it's, our customers are warm friends. A better-known business that takes care of veterans. They won an award for hiring veterans. Shasta Gas Propane. This was an award from the state of California for hiring veterans. So it wasn't just something that, you know, somebody came up with and said, oh, okay, hey, you guys did a good job. No, the state of California is one of the top three small businesses in the state for hiring veterans right there at Shasta Gas Propane. Discounts for seniors and veterans. Give them a call, 365-3793. This portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry. 2225 Hilltop Drive, and the sale is on. This is the 23rd year for the jewelry sale at Four Winds Jewelry. If you are looking for that special jewelry item for your significant other, and Brent, I'm telling Brent Weaver this right now. He has got great sales going on there, and I'm sure that Mrs. Weaver just love to have like a bracelet, you know, like something with the kids' birth dates on it and all this, you know, covered with diamonds.
Oh, I think you're right, Carl. I think the fact that she let me run for city council, I need to probably
need to go down and see Leonard, Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. He's got it all, and the only trained watch repairman in the whole city right there at Four Winds Jewelry. You're not going to do any better on prices or anything. That sale is up, and it is running right now. And, you know, with all that money you make as a Reading City Councilman, all those thousands and thousands of dollars and all those perks that you city council people make, you ought to just push it right back into the economy.
There you go.
All right. Okay. Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, right across the street from Sierra Gibbs. Okay. As you can tell, Brent Weaver's with me today, Reading City Councilman.
Hey, good morning, Carl.
Good morning. And just to clear that up about the about the money you guys make. How much you guys make a month?
$600 a month.
Wow, that's gone up, hasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You know, honestly, I didn't pay attention to that.
I thought it was like $500.
Running. Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is kind of insignificant, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, $600 a month to take all the abuse you take.
Yeah, I don't think you're if you're doing it to get rich, you would probably find your time better served picking up cams outside. Honestly,
I'm just waiting. I thought I saw somebody look like Francie out there picking up stuff one day, but I thought she was just into this, you know, cleaning up by the river.
Oh, maybe she adopted a block. Maybe she adopted a block.
She talked about it. But maybe she's selling that stuff too. I mean, you know, so who knows? Yeah. Okay. Blueprint for safety.
Blueprint for public safety.
Because that's one of the things you had talked to me. You called me and said, "Hey, look, you know, when this thing comes out, I sure would like to talk about this because there's been a lot of consternation about the blueprint for safety.
Yeah.
You know, early renditions of it, drafts came out.
Yep.
Which caused consternation. Record Searchlight published those, and then you know, about hey, this isn't the final thing, and so now. it's out.
Yeah. So, well, first thing that's exciting, the city council and the supervisors will be formally presented the final draft on December 15th. It'll be a special workshop at 1:30 p.m. for city council.
Okay.
Supervisors will be at a different time, you know, in their chambers. But the draft is going to be here, and I think that's exciting. Let's talk maybe briefly, if we could.
Sure.
Because you mentioned it. There, you know, there's been some talks and some discussion about transparency, you know, with this blueprint. And what I would say, I think that if we had to do some things over again, I'll just tell you from my opinion, I think we would want to do some things over. I can certainly tell you, Carl, the intent was never to, you know, do this blueprint behind closed doors. It was, you know, basically to hire a consultant and... you know, there's different ways of setting up committees. You can have the council select committees, or you can kind of turn it over to the city manager. I gave the opinion at the beginning of this process to let our city manager kind of take the lead on it and, you know, set up some working groups and have some citizen committees. And, you know, all I would say is I've struggled with the fact that there's, you know, been a lot of discussion in the paper and comments that it's been, you know, kind of a, you know, arms around it, trying to hide the process. And again, so all I would say is, you know, we learn as we go. And I would say, you know, if we were to embark upon something like this again, I'd spend a little more time making sure that, you know, it just felt like it was more, a little bit more open. But where I was focused on was the end result on this.
Well, that's one of the things you started with is, and this is kind of the thing I think that's bothered a lot of people, is that, you know, you ran on the, hey, we're going to clean this place up.
Yeah.
I may not have said it exactly like that, but we're going to clean up Dodge City. So did Kristen. So did Francie. And as soon as you got in there, when you first time you tried something, you know, okay, we need to do this, it became a committee. And then it became a study. And then it was going to be 6 months.
Sure.
Well, now it's been 9 months.
Yeah.
At least 9 months. And we still don't have it yet. So we're working. And, you know, the point, I think that's bothered people.
Yeah.
The other thing is when you said, you know, the city manager put together committees of citizens. Were there really citizens involved in this?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, but nobody knows who they are.
Well, the newspaper published, too, was on those
okay.
working groups. That was 3-4 weeks ago.
Right, but those were mainly the people like Paletti and...
Well, so Chief Paletti, Chief Gray from Fire, and then Sheriff Basenko, you know, mm-hmm. they had their three working areas, and then they assigned citizens to work on those groups.
Were there any women on these groups?
You know, I saw that letter to the editor, you know, a day or two ago. And, again, Carl, what I would tell you is those three working group leads, you know, picked their things. But if I could get back to, you know, what you were saying about – you know, myself, you know, I won't talk about Councilmember Schrader, or I guess I should say Mayor Pro Tem Schrader, or Francie Sullivan. Speaking to myself as far as how what I ran on and what I've been trying to accomplish. So I think the community should be impatient. They really should. I mean, because what we're dealing with, it's affecting quality of life. It's affecting, you know, if you're running a business. If you feel, you know, comfortable going to certain areas in our community, so the community should be impatient on that. And I don't want them to ever say they're not. But, you know, for me, this has also been a learning process on this blueprint. You know, it's taken longer than I would have imagined. I got to be upfront about that. It has taken longer. But I'm proud of the fact that from the first day I got in office, this was on the radar in that first meeting, which is, hey, I want to move forward the strategic plan, the blueprint.
Right.
And so while it has taken longer, I also like to remind people that we've done a lot of things short and medium term while we've been working on this strategic plan that's taken longer than planned. You know, the adopt a block, the code enforcement, the hotel motel crackdown that we see taking place. And so I would say we've been working hard, and I'm proud of the record that myself and this council has done. But with this blueprint coming out on December 15th, I think while we can all acknowledge it's taken longer than we would have liked, and you know some people will like what's in there, some people won't like what's in there, but it's going to facilitate the dialogue that I think we're going to need to really set us up for the next 5 to 10 years for public safety in this community.
Well, I agree. Yeah, I don't want it to appear like there's nothing been done, because there hasn't been things been done. What I was saying was that when it went to the study with a drop dead date on or a date of 6 months, and it just kept going on and on and on, you know, with this thing. And but there has been things. We want to talk about that when we get back, because are we reaching a point here where we've got 67-year-old ladies getting assaulted at bus stops? It appears that we're there. So I think we need to talk about what you see as priorities here for public safety and you as a city councilman. Because, I mean, and you did – and this is one of the things I think that people really wanted to hear, which things you were saying about – we need to do things. And then when we start talking public safety, we can go over the motels, yeah, and all these things that are happening. But then also the number of police. How many police do we need? So we'll be right back after these messages. Call Linda Bott, KCNR 1460. It's 16 minutes after 8 o'clock here on the 2nd of December. 46 degrees out there today. It's supposed to be raining really hard tomorrow. We'll be right back.
Join the City of Reading as we turn off our outdoor irrigation. As our serious water crisis continues, the city is facing large fines from the state if we don't meet our mandate. Those recent rains we've been enjoying won't end the drought overnight, but they're enough to let you turn off your sprinklers for the year. The shorter days and cool nights mean you don't need to keep those sprinklers running. You'll save plenty of water and reduce your utility bill at the same time. Check out other water-saving tips at cityofreading.org. Be water wise, water less, and together we'll all get through this.
This is Carl Bott. I'm sitting with Ted Ogilvy here, manager and head driller of Diamond Core Drilling. You know, Ted, with all this water shortage and the drought that's going on, people have a lot of questions about their water wells. What can Diamond Core Drilling do for these people?
I've seen a lot of people run out of water, and it takes a very long time to get a driller scheduled. What we'd like to do is see if we can pull a Department of Water Resources log that shows the construction details of the well. And then we also like to come out and do an actual site visit and inspect the well and see if there's anything that can be done with the well.
Now, this is a free consultation, right?
Yeah, absolutely, Carl. We don't charge anything for that. We've been providing water well services since 1980. We're veteran-owned, veteran-managed. You can reach us at area code 530-275-8162, or you can visit our website, diamondcoredrilling.net.
That's Diamond Core Drilling. They can help you with any of your water well needs.
This is Ted Ogilvy. We're here to help.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Reading Yellow Cab, and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Reading Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Reading Yellow Cab, and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
Hi, Linda Bott here from KCNR.
And Nathan Parmalee from Reading's own Civic Auditorium.
The Reading Civic is bringing the excitement to its newly updated theater. The 2015-2016 season promises to wow you and include a 15% savings option when you purchase tickets to 3 or more shows.
So start your holiday season with the exquisite artistry of Moscow Ballet's Great Russian Nutcracker. Enjoy heartfelt Christmas classics with the Oak Ridge Boys Christmas Show, and take in the stunning debut of the Civic's very own production of Christmas Carol, A Love Story.
2016 kicks off with the pop culture phenomenon of Flashdance the Musical,
the devilishly funny production of C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters,
the wildly theatrical show Blue Man Group, and the fun family experience of Chris Parandi's Stunt Dog Experience.
For tickets and more, visit ReadingCivic.com or the Reading Civic box office.
See you at the show!
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. This is Carl Bott. Good morning. It is 8:18 in the morning here on Wednesday. I'm just having a tough time with this Wednesday, 2nd December today for some reason. 47 degrees out there, going up to 55 today. And this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends at Wind River. Tomorrow night, Linda's got her Christmas show rolling out there at Elements Lounge. in Wind River Casino. And I tell you what, right now I know that, you know, if you want to get a ticket out there, you better call now, 243-3377. Place is filling up quickly. I was just told that somebody just came in and said, oh, they got a table of 9 people out there. I know there's going to be another table of 12, and then there's all these other people that always come there. So this is a night where Linda Bott and Lady Bott and the Bluebirds play, and it's going to be Christmas music, it's going to be dancing, it's going to have it all. Great dinner and a special menu out there for Romance on the River, all at Wind River. Give them a call at 243-3377. Say you want to do Romance on the River in the Elements Lounge. You'll have a great time singing, and you can dance. Happy hour prices if you get there early. She starts singing at 7 o'clock. Get there a little bit early for dinner. Steak and lobster for $21, and it's a filet. It's good. Okay. Hey, Reading City Councilman Brent Weaver is my guest, and we are talking about the Blueprint for Safety. And coming back into this was, you haven't seen it yet.
No.
We were just talking about it because you were told.
Yeah. So, there was a process that was, again, Kurt was going to manage, selecting the consultant, and then they were going to have the three working groups, which was police, fire, incarceration, and then those three working leads were going to organize their citizen committees. Now, there's a steering committee, which is Larry Lees, Kurt Starman, Leonard Modi, and the mayor at the time, Francie. They were able to see, pre-drafts, but the rest of the supervisors and the rest of the council were not allowed to see the draft. And I guess the thought process behind it is they didn't want us influencing the draft. They wanted it to be independent.
Right.
And so I've respected that process.
Okay. I believe the draft, well, because everybody's read about the draft.
Sure.
And Paletti has been on here talking about it, parts of it, says that no new police are needed.
Well, so I will, again, as we were talking off air, I'll off what I've seen in the paper and then, comments from those who have read it. I need to see it firsthand, but I guess I interpret it if we're comfortable with the level of service we have in this community, you won't need any additional police officers. That to me is a reasonable comment. I think the question needs to be asked to the community. Are you comfortable with the level of service? I'll tell you, Carl, with my daily interactions with business owners and families and soccer moms, they're not happy with the level of service we have out there. The time it takes for calls for service. I had somebody that called me 2 days ago that their husband was driving home and somebody had gotten in a car accident and went off the road, and they called. And, unfortunately, the police department said, because they're understaffed, we no longer respond to traffic accidents unless there's life safety issues involved. And, another person called me this week about actually it was the River Inn, and there was some squatters in the River Inn, and there was not appropriate service to go in there and take those people out of there. And so I would say, again, with my daily interaction, I don't think people are comfortable with the level of service.
Let me give you some statistics that just came through
here.
We had a show on active shooters, and from guys that are experts in this, and the average active shooter from 5 to 12 minutes, that's how long it lasts, on an average. Chief Paletti was on the next day. So what's your emergency response? Emergency now, that's assault, people breaking your house.
Yep.
16 minutes.
Yeah.
All right. So if I look at this as 16 minutes to get to an emergency. Now, obviously, there's going to be, the factors in active shooter, different parameters. Everybody swarms on that. But just to think about that, and that right there, that's large as our city, that tells me we don't have enough police out there. He's only got 7 guys on the beat. And any one time, those 3 of those guys could be, putting people into jail and all this. So
I know that I have, in my conversations with Chief Paletti, I've asked him, has call time been looked at for calls for service? And, because, again, that's an important benchmark for me, as I'm looking at the type of service we're offering the community. Mm-hmm. And I think the point's well taken. You said, very well said. I don't think when you're in that most critical need, A, if your house is on fire, or B, you have somebody that's broken and entered into your property, that you can wait 16 minutes.
No.
I agree with you. I think, again, that's the dialogue that after this blueprint comes out, we need to have that conversation out there. And I'm excited after that blueprint comes out. I think the paper reported I want to try to take, roughly 5 to 6 weeks, and I want to try to meet with every organization to find out 3 questions on this blueprint. What do you like that's in the blueprint? What don't you like that's in the blueprint, and what do you wish was in there? And I want to take that feedback from any group that will meet with me, and that's a request for anybody that's listening. Just reach out to me and go to the City of Reading's website and let me know you want to meet with me on this blueprint once it's released. I want to make sure I get as much feedback from this community so that when we come back as a body, as a council, I can be very strong in, you know, my recommendations of how we're going to move forward for police, for fire, and incarceration.
One of the things I said is when, you know, as long as itinerants and illegal camps are going and they're beating up on each other and stabbing each other several times or it's a drug deal, okay. I mean, that's just part of, you know, of that life. But when you start getting people assaulted on the streets that are innocents, like the lady at the they had her purse snatched day before yesterday by a 19-year-old thug because she looked like an easy target. She's older, and he steals it, and they follow him back to the Capri Motel. Another one of those splendid motels that are out there. Can we talk a little bit about that? I mean, the city started
targeting. You got to be careful, Carl. You don't want to get me too worked up here, you know, because when I when I think about these hotel operators that are managing and running some of these less than stellar hotels, motels, and in what I call our places of commerce.
Yeah.
It gets me fired up, Carl, for several reasons. One, they're not good neighbors to those who are on each side of them trying to, you know, operate an honest business, you know, raise their families. That's number one. Number two, they're not offering a safe product to their clientele. In fact, to me, it's almost extortion because some of these people that are renting these rooms for, I've been told, $850 to $950 per room, and I've seen the insides of these rooms, it's extortion, okay? For these hotel operators to make that much profit off of renting these rooms to a clientele that might otherwise not be able to get a lease at,
because they can't get a place. Yeah, they're spending it, and that's for a month that they're living there in this place. Got a little bitty kitchen and mold and everything else.
But they're responsible to have on-site management doing some background checks on who they're renting to, and putting some of that profit back into their building to make sure it's safe, doesn't have, you know, bugs, doesn't have leaky water coming in, exposed electrical, all of the above. So it's unsafe. It's not a good product. So there's only one person that's winning here. It's the guy that's pocketing all that money, not putting it back into his hotel motel. And then think about it, Carl. We as taxpayers, we're his property management. We're paying for the police and fire to go there for that number of calls. And so that's why I get worked up here. We as a community have got to say we're not going to tolerate that. And we don't need new laws. We just need to enforce what we have already to say we're not going to allow that. And I want to – either they need to get their act together by the fines we're going to impose on them, or we got to make it difficult for them to operate here in Reading. End of story. That's how I feel.
Well, we can – I think we need to find them out of existence and then take that property and raise it.
Yep.
And, I mean, when I say raise it, I mean just flatten it right there and maybe sow it with salt. But then sell it to somebody that will actually put something in there. I mean, this is ridiculous when you have 300 or 400 police calls to the same motel. Let's go to the phones. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, you two. How you doing?
We're peachy.
Good. Just a quick question. In that blueprint, I can recall reading that the issue wasn't more police officers, and it wasn't an issue of whether or not people were happy with the service that they had. Apparently, in this blueprint, they're talking about around 10 community officers, that would do the trick. I think that was in there. I believe I read that. And also, I know in discussions with Chief Paletti that, candidly, he basically said that the unions are stopping him from putting a roadblock up to a degree of him getting community officers because they want to see that money go into police officers rather than community officers. And Chief Paletti has been an advocate of saying, if I had 8 to 10 of these guys, that would solve the problem. And that's going to be about 25% of the money. So I was wondering what Brent's comment was on that.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, Terry, thanks.
Yeah, Terry, and I think that's you hit on a really important point. So, again, I haven't seen exactly what's in there as far as what's being recommended, but I will give you my opinion on CSOs. I'm a huge proponent of hiring CSOs. So, you know, let's just use some common sense here. If we were able to hire 6, 8, 10 CSOs, and allow the sworn officers to get back to doing what they want to do, you know, proactive policing and, you know, actually holding people accountable. And the CSOs can take care of, you know, a lot of that work that, you know, quite frankly, you don't need a sworn officer, you know, with a gun on his side doing. I think that makes a lot of sense. So, again, although I haven't seen specifically what's being recommended in the blueprint, I wouldn't actually need the blueprint to tell me whether or not we should have CSOs. I'm a huge proponent of CSOs. They're cheaper than sworn officers, and they can do a lot of that work that gets the guys with the gun on the side, you know, back to doing what they should be.
Okay, you know, we need to take a break here. No, but here's one question about this is, okay, we know we need CSOs. We know that people aren't happy about their level of policing. I mean, obviously. We're starting to get more and more things, people happening out there. If we know that, I mean, and it's obvious, where are you going to get the money? Are you going to shift money using this blueprint, shift money from, and you don't have to answer this now, we'll wait till after the break. Are you going to shift money? Where are the priorities of the city council? Where are your priorities, Brent? Is it public safety or is it public parks? Is it infrastructure or is it giving money, you know, in raises, more raises out there? We'll be right back after these messages.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
It's Ladybot and the Bluebirds December 3rd at Elements Lounge inside Wind River Resort and Casino. Join us as we celebrate the holidays with our favorite jazz standards and Christmas songs, starring Pat Karch on keyboards, Bobby Viramontes on drums, Bruce Kalin on bass, and my very special guest, Blue White on sax and flute. That's Romance on the River from 7 to 9 p.m. Dine, dance, enjoy friends, music, and more. December 3rd. Call 243-3377 for reservations. See you there.
Whether it's a 7-year-old battling cancer, a dad injured in a car accident, or me, a mom of two saved by blood transfusions, every 3 seconds, someone is in need of blood. You don't have to be a doctor, a firefighter, or a police officer to save lives like mine. Donating blood makes you a hero. Contact Blood Centers of the Pacific at our own Redding Shasta Blood Center, 221-0600.
It is that time of year again. Cooler weather, fun-filled festivities, warming up by the fireplace, and family get-togethers. Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society wishing you happy holidays. As we go into the holidays this year, our goal is to find 300 forever homes for our homeless animals. What could be better than adding a new furry family member during the holidays? We have many wonderful dogs and cats looking for a home this holiday season. Please come by Haven Humane Society off 273 or visit our website at havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow all the animals both available for adoption and adopted. For more information, call 241-1653. And from all of us at Haven, we wish you a happy holiday.
For 45 years, the Redding Civic Auditorium has been an important resource in the North State for entertainment, fundraising events, trade shows, and conferences. In the past 3 years, over $1 million have been put back into this iconic structure. We invite you to be a part of the Civic's revitalization by becoming a member. We think you'll love the benefits, and your support will help to sustain its revitalization and strong community connection. Visit RedingCivic.com or the box office to become a Redding Civic member.
Could have used a few pounds. Tight pants, points, hollering now. She was a black-haired beauty with big dark eyes and points all her own, sudden way up high.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and DeBott, good morning. It's Wednesday, 2nd of December. 47 degrees out there, going up to 55 today. We've got spotty rain today. Tomorrow, lots of rain, 90% chance of rain. Going to be cool out there. A lot of rain up into the mountains and snow. Weather report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where our customers are warm friends. Senior and veteran discounts, give them a call, 365-3793. This portion of the show brought to you, of course, by our friends at Cypress Square Barbershop, best barbershop in town. A man's last stronghold, better-known business there. Discounts for seniors and veterans, and it is the cheers of barbershops. What can I say? I love this place. Cypress Square Barbershop. And, hey, head on down the street on Athens, a little bit further in Classy Cafe. Millie and Kathy are there to, and you walk in, you get a hug and a great breakfast and lunch. All there at Classy Cafe. Our guest is Redding City Councilman Brent Weaver. And when we left, we were talking about the public safety and the what are the priorities here?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and that's what I like to know from Brent Weaver is, I mean, we've got everybody is agreeing on this. We need CSOs. We need more officers. We need, it didn't take us that. It gives us, I guess, a basis. This blueprint, it gives us a base. Okay, now we know this is what we need, even though we knew we needed it. But it's kind of like any type of hypothesis. You need, some empirical facts behind it.
Yeah.
So it's there. So what are you going to do about this? There's only so much money.
Sure. So we know that the city council has five members, but I'm going to give you the world according to Brent. Okay, Carl. So when the blueprint comes out on December 15th, then I think we'll see roughly 5 to 6 weeks where, it'll allow us as a council to go out, talk to the community, find out, again, for me, I'm going to find out. There's three questions I'm going to ask everybody. What do you like? What don't you like? What do you wish was in there? After we come back then, after the new year, the council, we're going to have to do some type of a priority workshop where we go through the three areas of focus, fire, police, incarceration. Now, knowing that incarceration, we don't have direct responsibility over, but I think we should still give our recommendation on the incarceration side. I think that still means something to the community if we weigh in, the city council weighs in on the incarceration side. But again, we need to come back and do some type of priority workshop for fire, for police, incarceration. At that point, I think the city staff needs to take probably not a long time, but maybe 2 weeks. And according to our direction from the council, they will assign a dollar value to what we're recommending for fire, what we're recommending for police incarceration. Then we're going to have a dollar amount tied there. And we get into the funding discussion. And at that point, there's really two ways to do this, right? Three. One is if we're sitting on a pile of cash, let's go spend some of that pile of money, okay?
And there's a reserve.
Yep. Two, you reprioritize where, you're spending money, for this department. Well, you reallocate it over to this department, okay? Or the third one is you discuss a public safety sales tax to fund some of these things. And I think that's going to be when we get to that point, the funding discussion. That's when we're going to be, what do we as a community, want to invest in it? I personally believe, Carl, that the community is going to say, if we know it's going to go 100% to public safety, not to retirement, not towards raises, I think the community is going to, in a very loud and a strong voice, say, we will support public safety.
But something like that, when it goes to one, if it's going to public safety, needs two-thirds.
Well, there's two ways to do it, right?
Or you can say, we want to raise taxes here, and you can have another initiative that says we want 100% of this to go to because it goes into the general fund.
Right. So, what Rick Bassetti proposed was it needed a two-thirds vote in order to go 100%. The other way is similar to Anderson, right?
What Anderson did
a general 50% plus one with an advisory measure.
All right.
That followed it.
Nick, we'll be getting to you in a minute. We've got other people calling in too, but let me get this question. Is the city of Redding attempting to pass a fiscal emergency bill or fiscal emergency?
I've heard nothing of that story.
Okay.
I know we're having a lot of discussions right now on CalPERS and the changes to CalPERS.
Okay. All right. Well, let's start going to the phones here. Nick, good morning.
Good morning. I'm happy to be on your program today. I've got a question. When it comes to shutting down the motels, now, I've got a sour taste in my mouth about the clientele that they service, but there is a need for it. And when the government, the city, gets involved with shutting down businesses, are we heading down the slippery slope of deciding who can stay into business and who can't stay in business. I see the Americana at the last town hall or the Crime Watch meeting. They were cleaning up their violations, but they weren't going fast enough for the city. So the city decided to shut them down. And it seems to me like if they were complying, we should go ahead and give them, you know, time to bring it up to snuff. That being said, I drove through the Americana's parking lot Monday, and it's a desert. And these people that were at the Americana when it was full, I'm going, where did they go? Well, I know some of them are over here living in the bushes off Pacelli Lane and down behind the old Raley's. And it seems to me it should be thought out what's going to happen to these people before we close that down.
Okay, Nick. That's a good question. Thanks a lot, Nick.
Yeah, thank
okay,
you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Nick. So, well, two comments I'll make. Number one, the government does not create jobs. And number two, the government does not decide who's going to be in business or who should not be in business. What I have always said about, you know, consistently over the last year and a half, local government is trying to set a fair playing field. And when you have hotel operators that aren't playing by the rules, they're not, you know, they're not, that's not setting a good platform, you know, for the other hotel operators who are following the rules. And so, you know, Nick, I would just say, you know, I see this differently. This is not about the city council or the local government deciding who's in business or who is not, but I think it's holding people accountable to basically the laws of the land. We have responsibilities when we have a home that we're not going to impose on our neighbors. And as a business or a property owner, we have responsibility that we're going to operate in such a way that we're not going to hurt our neighbors.
And I think people understand that, Brent. But what he was saying, and his point is two things. One, shut down the Americana because the guy wasn't going fast enough. He was fixing it. I mean, I watched him because it's down the street here. I could see him kind of fixing it up. But they decided to close him down and take because he wasn't doing
no,
it fast
enough. No, we haven't closed
the Americana not closed down.
Down no,
but
no,
did
we haven't
they
closed
it,
down.
Did they put it in receivership, though?
No. It's going – it's under litigation, but it's not – there's not a receiver appointed right now, and it's still open for business. So
but that's the way the city's aiming, though,
the
right?
City is – yeah, we're under litigation to take it to receivership,
okay, to
but it's not shut down right now.
Okay, so it's not shut down, but it's the city wants to put it in receivership. Now, does that shut the place down then?
No. What my understanding of the way this works and how it's been explained to me by staff, we gave them a chance to try to correct their violations, and we gave them 30 days. We actually didn't come back for roughly 2 months, and it went from 57 pages of violations to 47 pages of violations when we came back 2 months later. Because of the number of calls that are taking place there, and just
quite oh no, you know what? Yeah. I have no argument about this. This place is a
but
piece of crap.
But to say that we're shutting it, say we're shutting it down. No, a judge is going to decide if you know this whether it should or should not go to receivership. If they are truly showing,
right.
you know that they're
okay.
In
so
good faith.
So it's going to go to court on that.
Yeah.
So if it goes to receivership, though, that doesn't mean it's going to be torn down.
No. Then all it is, a receiver comes in. And the receiver is going to start to make some determinations at the direction of the judge. And that's going to be, all right, is this place safe? You know, do we fix it up? What do we do?
Okay. But I tell you what, I'm wholeheartedly behind what you're doing here, going to these hotels, these dens of iniquity, because...
Well, I appreciate that, because I'm wholeheartedly behind
no,
this.
No, I mean, yeah. I am, because we need to do this. This is just one of the things that are one of some of the problems here. We need a real nice motel downtown or a hotel downtown that people can just go from here, walk around town. Now, the guy right across the street has really been working at it.
And, Carl, can I...
Sure.
I think for us not to talk about a success model in Reading that took place, look at North Market Street. Okay, mm-hmm. North Market Street, when Chief Blankenship and the city manager at that time targeted North Marketplace. You know, so we're talking about where you know SJ Denham Chrysler is
right.
Travelodge
yes.
and those different hotels there. That whole stretch has breathed new life in. You see businesses in there, and you know the Casablanca over there got torn down, and basically they just held people accountable. They didn't create new laws. They just held people accountable.
Well, and I'm all for that.
Yeah.
We need to hold people
so
accountable.
So I just keep saying, hey, if you're happy with you know what you see when you go to the Americana or the Reading Inn or the Reverend, then let's not do anything.
Capri,
but I'm not happy with
Capri.
It. But I'm not happy with it. Okay. And I don't think the people who elected me are happy with it.
They need to be done. But then again, Anyway, hey, let's go to the phones because that leads then into pushing people out. Then we get into the homeless question, and then we don't have enough time for all that, but I'm going to try and hit as many of those as I can. But Billy Bob, good morning.
Hello.
Hello, Billy Bob.
Are you there, Carl?
We're here.
Yeah, Brent, question. As a developer and businessman in Redding, California, I want to ask you one simple question, is that when are you going to initiate a moratorium on these extravagant and extortionist building and impact fees that Redding charges for anybody to do anything? And again, the Maurice Johannesson's project that we all know about, where they're taking over 15% in impact fees and permits for a simple apartment complex. Listen, I mean, if you can't initiate this, I don't know who can, because the girls on the city council don't have a clue. And again, with you, your development skills, when are you going to initiate this moratorium and get the construction industry back to work? And again, you've been in office for over a year, and I haven't heard a peep out of you concerning this matter, and I want to see it done, all right? This is absolute government extortion. The monies you charge for building permits and impact fees, unbelievable. I mean, come on. And again, one more comment. Fact that the city council, this $160,000 for this blueprint, come on. Any ordinary group of idiots could figure this stuff out without having to spend $160,000. All right, thanks.
All right, thanks, Billy Bob. And before you answer, because I want to take a break, because this is like three different answers here.
Questions, okay. Right.
Three different questions. But it's Billy Bob is consistent. He asked you when you were running, what are you going to do about these fees? And that's a good point.
Yeah.
Maurice Johannesson's having to pay 15% of what it costs for fees out there and for these things they want him to do. And I can tell you, I'm sure, Brent, people have called you because people talk to me about it, about what the problems they're having with the city getting things done and the cost of everything around here. I mean, and if I can remind you the things you said back when you were developing stuff around
here. I've been consistent when I ran. I've been consistent where I am, and I can't wait to answer that question when we come back.
And we'll be right back after these messages. Take your passion.
Hi, Linda Bott here from KCNR.
And Nathan Parmalee from Redding's own Civic Auditorium.
The Redding Civic is bringing the excitement to its newly updated theater. The 2015-2016 season promises to wow you and include a 15% savings option when you purchase tickets to three or more shows.
So start your holiday season with the exquisite artistry of Moscow Ballet's Great Russian Nutcracker.
And thank you, Shasta County family members, for your support during the holidays.
It's Dandelion's first Christmas in their new home. So join the ladies at 1322 Pine Street. Enjoy the 17 themed trees, where you will find exciting brands like Brighton, Alex and Ani, beautiful sweaters, and delicious candles with scents like pumpkin spice and cinnamon cider. Have your sweetheart fill out a wish list to make your shopping easier, or have one of the many wonderful ladies help you with that special gift. It's Dandelion Unique Gifts and Clothing at 1322 Pine Street in beautiful downtown Redding.
During the holiday season at Wellgate Sports Club, we want to give you the gift of health and fitness. Hi, I'm Rich Novelli, President and COO of Wellgate Sports Club. For a limited time, we are offering no dupes until 2016. So call today at 768-1205 for your personal tour. At Wellgate Sports Club, you will experience exceptional every day. At Wellgate Sports Club, we wish all of you a happy and healthy holiday season.
Join the City of Redding as we turn off our outdoor irrigation. As our serious water crisis continues, the city is facing large fines from the state if we don't meet our mandate. Those recent rains we've been enjoying won't end the drought overnight, but they're enough to let you turn off your sprinklers for the year. The shorter days and cool nights mean you don't need to keep those sprinklers running. You'll save plenty of water and reduce your utility bill at the same time. Check out other water-saving tips at cityofredding.org. Be water wise, water less, and together we'll all get through this.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Good morning. It is 10 minutes till 9 o'clock here at KCNR 1460. The weather today is going up to 55 degrees. It's 47 right now. It's going to go up a few more degrees. Low tonight of 47. Good chance of rain today. A lot of chance of rain tomorrow. And Friday, clearing up this weekend. So be prepared for all of that. The weather forecast brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call, 365-3793. Our guest is Brent Weaver, and we've just got like about 10 minutes left. That's okay. We pivot back to Billy Bob on the developing, but we want to do Billy Bob. I've asked Brent to keep this quick because I'm going to ask him about salaries. So.
Okay. So to the question of building fees. So yeah, my day trade is I own a building material store. I build buildings. I'm a developer, and so I appreciate I understand intimately how painful these building fees are. So why do we have building fees? That was the question you and I were talking about, Carl. Okay, you have to have there's a cost associated with offering a service for sewer, for water, electricity, roads, sidewalks, storm drains, and there's studies that they're done every 4 years. Mary Machado and several other people were on that study that completed roughly 2.5 years ago, and they agreed at that time they'd come back again in another year and a half to look at the fees to see if they were high or low. 2.5 years ago, when that group with Mary Machado and members mm-hmm. of the community, Chamber of Commerce, they actually reduced some of the fees because they were looking at some of the park impact fee that's associated with single-family homes. And so there were some things that actually got reduced. And I think that's important that every 4 years they go back and relook at how we're coming up with these formulas to associate fees. But ultimately, this comes down to a philosophical question for me, Carl, which is, A, who's going to pay for these fees? Should it be paid for the developer or the owner of that property that wants to build something on there? Or should you take the fees and spread that out through the community? Now, the city of Reading's made that philosophical they've answered that philosophical question. They want the developer to take the brunt of the development costs associated, okay? So you can talk about whether the fees are too high, too low, but there's studies that are done every 4 years. And I'm not going to get on here and say that 2.5 years ago that group that got together was wrong, but we will continue to look at it. During the campaign, what was the issue that was brought up regarding building impact fees, I remember, was Michael DeQuisto and Patrick Jones, they were for continuing the reduction of impact fees and building fees for single-family homes. That was something during the recession that the community and the city council, they reduced fees at that time. Then it went away. It was for a limited period of time. But during the campaign, that issue came up again, and Michael DeQuisto and Patrick Jones said, we should continue that. Now, myself, if I wanted to be self-serving for my building material store and my development business, I would have said, yeah, let's keep reducing those fees. But this is how I looked at it, Carl, whether people agree with me or not. If we continue to keep those fees artificially low for a small segment, doesn't that become a tax break for a small, subset? And then knowing that there's a cost associated for sewer, water, roads, electricity, somebody's got to pay for that ultimately, and then that gets spread out through the taxpayers. And again, that comes back to the philosophical discussion. Should everyone in the community pay for future development, or should it be the people coming in? I understand it's high. I understand it's painful. I've lived it. I understand it. But let's talk about the positive side of this discussion. We have a new development services director who has come in, Larry Voppel. I had lunch with him yesterday. I hope you'll get him on the radio because I got to tell you, Carl,
I'm gonna give him a call today.
I am impressed.
Like somebody we need to talk
to. I am incredibly impressed with this gentleman. He comes from Riverside. He has an economic development background, a master's in public administration. He's been in planning, building, and he worked in the private sector, owned his own brokerage firm. This guy gets what it's like to be on the other side of the counter when you're walking into a building department. This guy, he wants to – the way he described it, and I'll let him speak for himself when he comes on. He said, we have the state and the feds mandating building code to us here that we have to enforce. He goes, I view my role as the development service director of Reading, that I'm a consultant helping the person, the private sector, to get through all the complexities of the state and federal building code. I mean, this is a guy that really gets it. I hope you'll have him on.
Well, I'm going to have him on because you said he's got some good ideas, and you know that you told me a couple. I'm not going to say what you told me because this is up to Larry to do.
Sure.
But I do want to have him on because I think everybody out there, Billy Bob and all y'all, you might like some of the things you're going to be hearing here in the next couple of days out of this guy, Larry Vaupel. All right, I'm going to pivot over to salaries.
Yes.
We're talking
yes.
about here. Again, Rod Dinger, great guy. I like Rod and all that. He's retiring here. He's 54. The attorney retired at 52. Other guys are all retiring at the peak of their earning, you know, time, or the peak of really of their work, because, you know, they're 50, they're healthy, they can do a lot, yet they're retiring at salaries that is three times the amount of money that people in Reading make, a family of four. How can we one, sustain this, and two, how can we keep giving raises to these guys when we don't have enough cops, community service officers, or any of these things, and yet we continue to vote raises?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I would say that if you're going to run for a city council position or a supervisor, you should hopefully have, you know, an understanding and some type of background in financial matters. Because I will tell you, after a year in on this job, the number one area where you spend time in closed session, you know, and you know, working with staff is it's working on budgets. It's understanding your future liabilities. And Carl, I'm not going to sit here and tell you we shouldn't be concerned. I'm incredibly concerned about our unfunded liabilities. That's why last night at City Council, I brought up in item 12, which is where council members can discuss future topics for that council to debate on the agenda. I brought up these changes to CalPERS that are taking place. There's recently came out that CalPERS is going to lower their annual return from 7.5% to 6.5%. And the reason why that matters to the average taxpayer
because we pick up the difference.
And so what I asked staff to do, and it was 5-0 last night, is to come back with future financial modeling for us to see how that's going to impact our budget, you know, with some of these changes that are being discussed. And we have Mr. Bartel, who's an actuary. He's going to come back to us after the new year, and he's going to talk about the unfunded liabilities, CalPERS. And, you know, Carl, this discussion of salaries and retirement, you have to be careful here for me, you know, as a city councilor, which is you need to be concerned about your unfunded liabilities. That needs to be something always in the front, you know, of your dashboard here. But you also have got to continue to run the business, and you've got to staff it, and you've got to attract people that are talented to help run that organization. I've always said that, you know, let's use my personal business as an example. Okay, I could cut costs by reducing, you know, just hiring only $9-$10 an hour people, but that would ultimately cost me more money if they didn't know how to do accounting, if they didn't know how to do sales, didn't know how to do those things. And so, well, I get what you're saying.
So you hire $20 an hour people.
Right. So here's what you're going to say to me.
$15
you're
going to
say,
people.
Brent, well, what about this director who's making this high salary?
People on the city or on the city staff that make more than the governor.
Sure.
Now, I realize they're probably doing more work than the governor, and the governor runs for an office.
Right.
But still, you've got six people on there that make more than the governor. And there's lots of other cities, Brent, that work very well with salaries a lot lower than ours.
But this is a discussion that where you got to be fair, which is I'm not comparing Brian Crane in Public Works to the governor. Okay, I'm comparing Brian Crane in Public Works to another Public Works director in another like-size populated community. So, again, I'm not telling you it's not something that I'm worried about and I'm not always looking at. We always talk about the raises. Well, we don't talk about the ones we don't give. And I can tell you in the year I've been there, it's, you know, I will agree with you on this point, Carl. There are people on that council that no matter what it is, it's always no when it comes to raise. You have other people on the council, it's always yes. But I'm going to tell you, neither of those are quite right. I know that's not how I run my business. Sometimes you've got to look at, you know, sometimes you hold the line, and there's other times when you say, well, if I can't fill that position, I've gone through three recruitments, maybe there, and the feedback is we're not, you know, competitive, maybe we got to look at that.
Okay. Well, you know, hey, that's what you feel about it.
Yeah.
I just know that when I see people retiring at age 52, at $150,000 a year, not even counting their, you know, their medical perks. And I see how much a, you know, how hard it is for a family of four here in this town. There's a, such a, I mean, there's a dichotomy here. I mean, there's something here that needs to be looked at.
I hear you. I hear you on that. And I weigh that.
Okay.
I weigh that.
Hey, Brent, thanks a lot for coming. Because you called me about coming on with the talking about this blueprint, and I appreciate that. I want to get the rest of them in. I want to get Kristen in here talking about her homeless plan.
Yeah.
I'm really interested in that and see what things she's come up with. But thanks so much for being here.
Absolutely.
Hey, tomorrow, veterans and who else is running for county supervisor? We're going to have her in here, too. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
Gonna stand my ground, won't be turned around, and I'll keep this.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. A jury has now been seated for the trial of Baltimore police officer William Porter. Charges against him include manslaughter and the death of Freddie Gray. Porter is the first of six officers to stand trial. The jury consists of eight women and four men, and there are four male alternates. Secretary of State John Kerry says more countries are getting on board in the fight against ISIS in Iraq and Syria.
I was very gratified that a number of allies are already bringing more to this battle, or are planning to increase their contributions.
British Prime Minister David Cameron is making the case to Parliament for an expansion of British airstrikes against ISIS from Iraq into Syria.
On Monday, I spoke to the President of Iraq in Paris, and he expressed his gratitude for the vital work our forces are doing. And yet, when our planes reach the border with Syria, a border that ISIL themselves do not recognize, we can no longer act to defend either.